Volume 50, Number 2 of The Friend Magazine for February 2020. Contents. Stories and features. From the First Presidency, Go and Do, President Henry B. Eyring. Brave on the Bus, My Family Night Fun. Bright Idea, A Temple for Italo. Hello from Brazil. Meet the Apostles, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. Packing for Grandma's House. Friend to Friend, More Important Than Basketball, Elder Brian K. Taylor. Anxious but All Right. 6 Ways to Feel Better. Garage Sale Service. Kindness Counts, A Kind Primary Class. Show and Tell, Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Riding to the Rescue. Food and Fun. Fun Stuff, Book of Mormon Puzzle. Keep Going, Josie. What's on Your Mind? Music, I Will Walk with Jesus. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff, Blessings from Jesus. Fun Stuff, Find It, and Scripture Boats. Friend Junior, Come Follow Me for Little Ones. Hi, friends. Layla makes good choices. I can make good choices. Scripture Stories, Nephi's Broken Bow. Coloring Page, and Free Dinosaur Hugs. End of contents, read by Wes Nelson.
Friends by mail, mini spaghetti pizzas. It was fun making the mini spaghetti pizzas as a family, and we all loved them. Austin and Jade A., age 7 and 9, Texas, USA.
My friend cover. I drew the cover of the June 2019 friend. Amelia H., age 4, Michigan, USA.
Matt and Mandy. When a new friend comes in the mail, I like to lay out all the Matt and Mandy pages so I can see how the story builds from last month. Rockwell R., age 8, Idaho, USA.
Dear friends, if you're 7 or older, you probably already have the new booklet called Personal Development, Children's Guidebook. It is a fun way to grow, try new things, and become more like Jesus. On page 26 of this month's magazine, you can read about how some primary children follow Jesus by being kind and inclusive. And you'll find a beautiful new song, I Will Walk with Jesus, on page 27. Write and tell us how you're using your new guidebook to become more like Jesus. Love, the friend. Standard Search. Can you find a story in this issue that talks about clean language? Bonus Challenge. Memorize this month's standard. I Will Not Swear or Use Crude Words, Children's Guidebook 63. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of the article, Friends by Mail. Read by Enzo Patello, Lydia and Daniel McClellan, and Margot Patello.
From the First Presidency, Go and Do, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. When I was growing up, many people were out of work and homeless. The Relief Society president in our small branch was an older woman from Norway. She knew that God wanted her to care for those in need, so she asked her neighbors for old clothes. She washed the clothes and ironed them. Then she put them in cardboard boxes on her back porch. When someone needed clothes, her neighbors would say, "Go to the house down the street. There is a lady there who will give you what you need." This sister found out what God wanted her to do, and then she did it. She helped hundreds of Heavenly Father's children who were in need. In the Book of Mormon, Nephi teaches us to follow God's commandments, no matter how hard they seem. He said, "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded." 1 Nephi chapter 3, verse 7. You show your trust in God when you listen to Him and then go and do whatever he asks. Adapted from Trust in God, Then Go and Do, Ensign, November 2010, pages 70 through 73. What can you do to help somebody today? End of the First Presidency, Go and Do, by President Henry B. Eyring, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by Dwayne Case.
Story, Brave on the Bus, by Charlotte Larsible. Church Magazines. Based on a true story. Natalie laid her head on the back of her seat and looked out the window. She tried to focus on the houses and cars flashing past, but it wasn't easy. A bunch of older kids at the back of the bus were saying bad words again loudly, and it wasn't just swear words either. The things they were talking about were not things Natalie wanted to hear. Natalie wasn't the only one who felt uneasy. Her friend Katie frowned and stared down at her hands. Thomas looked at Natalie and shrugged his shoulders. The bad language was bothering all of them. Natalie peeked back at the older kids. Then she hurried and turned around before anyone saw her. She could ask them to stop, but that thought made her stomach flip-flop. It probably wouldn't do much good anyway. She decided to pray instead.
Dear Heavenly Father, please make them stop.
Natalie finished her prayer and waited. Nothing happened. The older kids kept saying the same bad words. Katie was still staring at her hands. Thomas still looked uncomfortable. Why didn't Heavenly Father do something? Why didn't he make them stop saying those bad words?
Please, Heavenly Father.
Then a thought came into Natalie's mind. Talk to the bus driver. She scrunched up her nose. Talk to the bus driver? What if he yelled at her? What if the older kids saw her and made fun of her? The thought came again. Talk to the bus driver. Natalie felt a peaceful feeling.
Help me be brave, Heavenly Father.
She prayed. As the bus pulled up to her stop, Natalie took a deep breath and walked up to the bus driver.
Mr. Avery?
Yeah?
Some of the older kids in the back are saying really bad words.
Natalie said quietly. But then she felt a little braver. Her voice was a little stronger.
It makes other kids and me uncomfortable. Is there something you could do about it, please?
Mr. Avery glanced at the back of the bus through the rearview mirror. He nodded.
Thanks for telling me. I'll talk to them.
Natalie smiled and walked down the bus steps. She hopped off the last one and skipped home. She was feeling much better. The next day, Mr. Avery smiled at Natalie as she got on the bus.
I talked to our friends in the back of the bus. I reminded them that what they say affects those around them. I told them I didn't want any bad language on our bus anymore. Let me know if it happens again.
Natalie grinned.
Thanks, Mr. Avery.
Natalie had a happy feeling in her heart. Heavenly Father had helped with the swearing. He didn't make them stop, but he did help Natalie know what to do. He helped her be brave, and next time she needed courage to speak up, she knew she could do it with his help. See, Come Follow Me for 2 Nephi, chapters 1 through 5.
End of the story, Brave on the Bus, read by David Shaw, Margot Patello, and Wes Nelson.
My Family Night Fun. These ideas go along with Come Follow Me for individuals and families each week. Boats Afloat. For 1 Nephi, chapters 16 through 22, sing Nephi's Courage, Children's Songbook, pages 120 and 121. Act out the story of Nephi building a boat. You can use the script on page 25. How can you do hard things like Nephi did? Want to build a boat like Nephi? Try the ideas on pages 24 and 25. You could also make a boat. You can eat. See Treat Time. Pretend Plates. For 2 Nephi, chapters 1 through 5, sing Praise to the Man, hymns number 27, verse 1.
prophets long ago knew that a man named Joseph would translate the scriptures. See 2 Nephi chapter 3, verses 7 and 15. They wrote about him on the gold plates. Can you imagine how Joseph Smith felt when he translated those words? Make your own metal plates. Wrap heavy aluminum foil around a piece of cardboard and tape it in place. Use a matchstick and press gently to write on your plates. Jesus loves you. For 2 Nephi chapters 6 through 10. Sing, I feel my Savior's love. Children's Songbook, pages 74 and 75. The prophet Jacob taught his children about how Jesus would help them. Because of Jesus, we can cheer up our hearts. 2 Nephi chapter 10, verse 23. Play the matching game on page 8 to learn about how Jesus blesses our lives. How does Jesus help your family? Treat time. Banana boats. Cut unpeeled bananas lengthwise about 1 inch, 2.5 centimeters deep, leaving 1/2 inch, 1 centimeter, uncut at each of the ends. Stuff the slit bananas with mini marshmallows and chocolate chips. Then wrap in foil and place them in a baking sheet. Bake at 350 degrees Fahrenheit, 180 degrees Celsius, for about 10 minutes. Grape bites. Stick toothpicks into individual grapes and dip them in yogurt. If you want, dip them in a topping like shredded coconut or nuts. Place grapes on a plate and freeze for about 2 hours. Cowboy salsa. Mix 1 can corn, drained, 1 can pinto beans, drained, 2 chopped tomatoes, 1 chopped avocado, and 1/4 cup Italian dressing. Serve with chips for dipping. Picture the temple. For 2 Nephi, chapters 11 through 25, sing, I love to see the temple. Children's Songbook, 95. Prophets said long ago that one day there would be a temple many people would visit. See 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Now there are temples all around the world. Read A Temple for Italo on page 10. Why are temples so important? Draw your own picture of the temple, like Attilio did. You can look at temples around the world at temples.churchofjesuschrist.org. Click on Photo Gallery. Learning Little by Little, for 2 Nephi, chapters 26 through 30. Sing, Do As I'm Doing, Children's Songbook, 276. God helps us learn about Him little by little. See 2 Nephi chapter 28, verse 30. He doesn't expect us to know everything at once. Sit in a circle to play this game. The first person says, I'm going to church and I'm going to bring blank. The next person repeats what the first person said and adds their own item at the end. Continue going around the circle, repeating all the items and adding more one by one. Can you remember them all? End of My Family Night Fun. Read by Dwayne Case.
Fun stuff. Blessings from Jesus. Because Jesus died for us, everyone who dies will live again. Because Jesus did the very hardest thing, we can do hard things with His help. Because Jesus paid for our sins, we can repent and be forgiven. Because Jesus felt all our pain, He understands us perfectly. End of the article. Blessings from Jesus. Read by Sean Nelson.
A Temple for Italo. He couldn't wait to go inside someday. By Sadie Ludlow, based on a true story. I love to see the temple, I'm going there someday. Children's Songbook, page 95. Italo was excited for the Ward Temple trip. They were going to the Recife, Brazil Temple. It was about 15 hours away. Italo, his older brother Enrique, and their parents left early in the morning. As they rode along, Italo kept thinking about something Mom had told him. "This year, you can see how beautiful the temple is from the outside," she said. "Next year, you'll be old enough to see how beautiful it is on the inside." Italo hadn't been to any temple before, but he had been watching the new temple being built in Fortaleza, I guess. In Fortaleza, where his family lived. It was amazing. They stopped for lunch. Italo had his favorite, feijoada, black bean stew with rice. While he ate, he kept thinking about the temple. When the temple in Fortaleza was finally dedicated, it would be a temple his family could visit over and over again. They wouldn't have to drive so far. The sun was setting when Italo and his family arrived at the temple in Recife. "Que bonito," Italo said. How beautiful. He couldn't stop smiling. The next morning, Mom showed Italo where he would be waiting with his friends from the ward. "Even though you can't go inside the temple yet," she said, "pay attention to the special spirit you can feel while you're on the temple grounds." Then the rest of Italo's family went inside the temple. Members of the ward sat with Italo and the other children on the grass near the temple. They read stories from O Livro de Mormon, the Book of Mormon, together. Reading scriptures is a good way to get ready for the temple, Italo thought. He felt calm and safe. Mom's right, he thought. There is a special feeling here. Then the adults took Italo and the other children for a walk around the temple grounds. That's when Italo noticed the words over the entrance to the temple. "Santa Dagi a Senhor." "A casa do Senhor," they said. "Holiness to the Lord. The house of the Lord." No wonder I feel so peaceful here, he thought. This is God's house. When the temple trip was over, Italo and his family returned home. He wanted to remember how he had felt at the temple. What could he do? Sometimes Italo felt he could draw his feelings better than he could write about them. So he drew a picture of the temple. Then he showed it to Mom and Dad. "This will remind me of where I want to go," he said. He kept the picture in his room where he could look at it each day. "I want to be ready," he said, "because I want to go inside someday." The author lives in Utah, USA. What can you do to get ready to go to the temple? See Come Follow Me for 2 Nephi, chapters 11 through 25. End of the story, A Temple for Italo, by Sadie Ludlow, based on a true story. Read by Van Farnworth.
Hello from Brazil.
We're Margot.
And Paulo. We're traveling around the world to learn about children of God. Join us as we visit Brazil.
Soon, there will be 11 temples in Brazil. On page 10, you can read about a Brazilian boy's first temple trip.
Brazil is the largest country in South America. More than 1 million members of the church live there.
The main language spoken in Brazil is Portuguese. This is the Book of Mormon in Portuguese.
The Amazon River is the longest river in the world, and the Amazon rainforest is the biggest rainforest in the world. It's home to many amazing animals, like this red-eyed tree frog.
Football, soccer, is the most popular sport in Brazil. A giant statue of Jesus Christ stands on a mountaintop near the city of Rio de Janeiro.
Meet some friends from Brazil.
I like going to church with my little sister and my parents. I feel the Savior's love when I'm with my family in sacrament meeting. I feel it when I'm in primary too. I know that Jesus lives and loves us. Iago V. H. 4. With his sister, Laís, age 2, Minas Gerais, Brazil.
Before my baptism, I was afraid of drowning because I could not swim. My father said I could trust Jesus to be with me. After that, I felt great courage and knew I was not alone. The day of my baptism was one of the best days of my life. Ana Luisa M., age 9, Paraná, Brazil.
Are you from Brazil? Write to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Thanks for exploring Brazil with us. See you next time.
End of Hello from Brazil. Read by Enzo and Margot Patello and Sean and Shannon Nelson. Fun stuff, find it. About half of Brazil is covered in rainforest. Can you find and color all 12 animals and insects in this rainforest scene? Look on page 39 for help. End of Find It, read by Sean Nelson.
Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. He loves all sports. His wife, Patricia, was a class officer and cheerleader at their high school. He was worried when he started college and thought about giving up, but Sister Holland told him to have faith. He and Sister Holland have 3 children. He'll turn 80 this year. His birthday is December 3rd. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland said, "Heaven is cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever." End of the article, Meet the Apostles, Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Packing for Grandma's House by Jane McBride, based on a true story. The author lives in Colorado, USA. While Frida sits on her bed, she realizes,
I've never spent the night away from home. What if I get scared at Grandma's house?
Then she stands up and says,
I know. I'll take some of my favorite things with me.
She goes through her room, looking for her favorite things to take with her. Suddenly, she has a problem.
It won't all fit.
She runs and tells her mom,
Mommy, I can't fit everything in my backpack to take to Grandma's.
Mom says,
Maybe just pick something that makes you feel safe and happy.
Frida goes back to her room to think hard about what her mom said. She notices the picture of Jesus and adds it to her favorite things to take with her. She gives her mom a big hug and says,
Now I'm all ready to go.
End of the story, Packing for Grandma's House. Read by Van Farnworth, Mia Peterson, and Kristen Hawkins.
More Important Than Basketball by Elder Brian K. Taylor of the 70. When I was 11 years old, I loved basketball. My oldest brother loved it too. He played on the basketball team in college. He had to decide whether to serve a mission or keep playing on the team. One night at dinner, he was talking with our family about whether or not to serve a mission. I just blurted out, If you go on a mission, I'll go on a mission. Everyone was silent as my brother thought about what I said. My brother did decide to go on a mission. In fact, all 4 of my brothers served missions. When it was time for me to decide whether or not to serve, it wasn't a question. I'd already made that choice. Someone else who loved basketball helped me prepare for my mission, too. His name is Devin Durant, and he was one of my teammates in college. He became my hero. He asked me if I knew what it felt like to make the winning shot in a basketball game. I said, yes. Then he said, it's great, but it can't compare to how you'll feel when you teach and baptize someone on your mission. I never forgot that. Through these great examples in my life, Heavenly Father showed me that His work was more important than basketball. What matters most is living the gospel of Jesus Christ so we can live with Heavenly Father again. End of the article, More Important Than Basketball, read by Scott Christopher.
Anxious But All Right by Kirsten Smith, based on a true story. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. As soon as the bell rang, Lincoln started walking to the parking lot as fast as he could. He couldn't wait to get home from school.
He stood on his tiptoes, looking at all the buses and cars in the pickup lane. Classmates rushed by him, laughing and talking, but Lincoln didn't feel like joining them. He prayed that his mom would get there soon. Finally, he saw their blue minivan.
"Hi, buddy,"
Mom said as the van door slid open. Lincoln climbed in and pulled the door shut. All the noise went quiet. It was like he had clicked the mute button on the TV remote. Lincoln sighed with relief. The quiet felt so good.
"How was your day?"
Mom asked. Instead of answering, Lincoln started to cry. Mom looked at him in the rearview mirror.
"Uh-oh, what happened? Are you okay? Did you get hurt?"
Lincoln wanted to answer, but his throat felt tight. Even if he could talk, he didn't know what to say.
"I don't know,"
he finally mumbled.
"You don't know why you're crying?"
Mom asked. Lincoln shrugged.
"I feel worried and nervous and scared, and I don't even know why."
He cried harder, glad that he didn't have to hold it in anymore.
"It sounds like you are feeling anxious. Sometimes I feel like that too. I actually feel that way a lot."
"You do?"
Lincoln asked, wiping his cheeks with his sleeve.
"Yep, for me it happens when I'm tired or I've been around a lot of people without a break."
Lincoln nodded. That sounded like his day today. He was glad he wasn't the only one who felt this way sometimes. But there was still something he didn't understand.
"At church, I learned that when we choose the right, we feel good inside. I don't think I did anything bad today, but I still feel terrible."
Mom looked at him with a smile.
"Our feelings can be funny like that. Not all unhappy feelings are because of bad choices. There are lots of reasons we can feel unhappy or anxious. Sometimes we don't even know why we feel the way we do."
Lincoln thought about that during the rest of the drive. He was glad his anxious feelings weren't because of something he did wrong. When they got home, they said a prayer together and asked Heavenly Father for help. Then Mom helped him figure out some things he could try to feel better. First, Lincoln got a snack. Then he played with his toys for a while. After that, he read a few chapters of a book he had gotten for his birthday. Pretty soon, his body felt more relaxed. The nervous thoughts weren't racing through his brain anymore. Lincoln thanked Heavenly Father for helping him feel better and learn more about his feelings. He could use the ideas he'd learned next time he felt anxious, too. Things were going to be okay. Feeling anxious? Do you have anxious feelings like Lincoln? Nervous? Upset? Can't calm down or stop worrying? Jumpy? You aren't alone. These feelings don't always mean you've done something wrong. Sometimes they are just part of life. And sometimes when you just wait, anxious feelings will pass. Talk to a parent or other adult you trust about how you are feeling. Turn the page for other ideas that can help.
End of the story, Anxious But All Right, read by Wes Nelson, Bree, and Enzo Patello.
Garage Sale Service, a true story written by you, by Taya Roja P., age 9, Texas, USA. It was Sunday, and my family and I were watching videos about service. We saw one about some people who helped others from another village who had lost their homes. They even closed the school and let 11 families live there. I decided I wanted to help too. I asked my parents if we could have a garage sale and donate the money we earned to the village. My mom told me she didn't know how to send the money straight to the village, but we could donate the money to the Church Humanitarian Aid Fund. She explained that the Humanitarian Aid Fund uses the money to help places like that village. I went to my room and looked for toys I could sell in the garage sale. My mom and other family members helped find other things we could sell. I made a goal for how much money I wanted to donate. We had our garage sale on a Saturday morning and were able to raise most of the money. We donated the things we didn't sell to a thrift store. I also donated some of my money from chores to help reach the goal, and my parents told me they would help too. Finally, I was able to reach my goal and donate the money for people like the villagers who had lost their homes. It might take longer for me to save up for things I want after donating some of my money, but I'm glad I was able to help them. My mom said that doing this blessed our family because we were helping others. End of the story, Garage Sale Service, read by Alyssa Peterson.
Kindness Counts, a kind primary class. Jaden P., age 10, Idaho, USA. Once, I went to a family reunion in another state. It was a lot of fun. When Sunday came, I was nervous to go to a different ward. The only people I knew at church were my family. I wanted to stay home, but I knew going to church was important. When we got to primary, my nervous feeling went away a little. I started to feel comfortable with the other kids. They shared their scriptures with me, they talked to me, and they helped me answer questions. We became friends. I was glad I went to church and thankful that everyone was so nice to me. I hope I get to go to that ward and see my friends sometime again. End of the story. A Kind Primary Class. Read by Enzo Patello.
Show and Tell. On our way driving home from a swim meet, it was dark and snowing. My mom was worried and asked us to pray. I remembered how Jesus taught us to pray when we need help, so I bowed my head and closed my eyes to pray to get home safely. After I prayed and opened my eyes, I felt a warm feeling in my heart. Then I heard a still small voice whisper, "Everything will be all right." Paige C., age 10, Massachusetts, USA.
I felt very happy to enter the waters of baptism. My brother, who served a mission, baptized me. Astrid V., age 8, Arequipa, Peru.
We raked leaves and shoveled snow for our elderly friend, Colin F., age 6, Ohio, USA.
We have family living in Tonga, and were sad when a cyclone hit there. We decided to send water purifiers so that they could have clean drinking water. We worked to earn money to send the 3 boxes of purifiers. Our family in Tonga had enough to share with their community. Christopher and Kalia L., both age 8, Saskatchewan, Canada.
I helped my brother with math. I helped my dad by caring for him. George E., age 8, Missouri, USA.
Primary children in the San Luis Province, Argentina, practice for the primary program and were excited to present it.
I like to invite my friends to come to church or to activities with me. Jacob K., age 12, New South Wales, Australia.
There was a boy who was being mean at school. I talked about it with my family. I prayed to Heavenly Father for the boy to find friends and to stop bullying. We soon became friends. Matthias M., age 7, Lithuania.
I'm always in God's sight. The skies are blue, the snow is white, and everything I do is in God's sight. No matter what others say during this lovely day, God knows everything I think and do, so I'll do my best to be true. Esther M., age 9, New York, USA.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Mason R., age 10, Washington, USA. David K., age 9, New Jersey, USA. Lynn P., age 11, Santa Cruz, Bolivia. Emily I., age 11, Utah, USA. Maren F., age 9, Florida, USA. Find more art online at childart.churchofjesuschrist.org.
End of Show and Tell.
Matt and Mandy. Matt and Franco, while walking along the sidewalk, stop and notice a wallet on the ground. Another boy also notices it and reaches for it just as Matt does. The other boy angrily says,
"It's mine! I saw it first!"
Franco responds,
"Doesn't matter who saw it first. It belongs to whoever lost it."
Matt says,
"Let me see if I can find a name in here."
"Wow, that's a lot of money.
The other boy is even angrier now.
"I saw it first, so that money's mine."
"Like Franco said, it doesn't belong to any of us,"
Matt replies. The boy walks away disappointed, but Matt and Franco know they did the right thing.
"Somebody's going to be really happy to get this back,"
Matt says. Franco agrees and adds,
"Let's ask your dad to help us find them." End of Matt and Mandy, read by Van Farnworth, Enzo Patello, Miles McClellan, and Miles McClellan.
For older kids, Family History Corner. Use an online map to explore places where your parents,
grandparents, or ancestors lived. Brain teaser. What goes up but never goes down? See page 39. A look inside the temple. Some temples have paintings on the walls to remind us of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ's beautiful creations. The temple in this photo took 40 years to build and is now closed for renovation. Can you guess which temple it is? See page 39. Secret service. Return someone's cart at the grocery store. Visit elderly people in a nursing home. Bring a treat to a neighbor. Ring the doorbell and run away before they see you. Art challenge. Draw a parrot from an upside-down raindrop. Thanks to Nathaniel T. for the idea. A new friend. Jared J., age 11, Arizona, USA, said, "There was a new kid at my school in my grade, and I knew he would feel good if he had a friend. So I went over and introduced myself and got to know him. I found out he was pretty cool. I'm glad I could minister and be a good friend." End of Four Older Kids, read by Margo Patello.
Riding to the Rescue by Carolyn Colton, based on a true story. The Lord God will help me. 2 Nephi 7:7.
"This is going to be great,"
Sterling said as he looked out the truck window. The sun was just rising over the horizon. The range stretched as far as he could see, full of sagebrush, a few twisted cedar trees, and one lonely cabin.
"Yeah,"
his friend Glenn said back.
"I can't wait to ride the range with Marcus.
And eat his famous sourdough biscuits,"
Sterling said. Sterling's dad drove up to the cabin and parked the truck. He was dropping them off to help Marcus with their family's cattle. The boys ran to the cabin as the 70-year-old cowherder walked out smiling big. A cowboy hat covered his head.
"Here are my cowhands," Marcus said. "I was starting to think you wouldn't make it. I'm sure glad to see you."
Marcus spoke a few minutes with Sterling's dad, then waved as the dust settled behind the truck. Marcus fed them breakfast, delicious sourdough biscuits, eggs, and bacon. Then they saddled their horses and began riding the range, looking for cattle who were wandering. They set out big blocks of salt for the cattle to lick so they would be healthy. After lunch, they rode under the cloudless sky to a far corner of the range. It was hot and dusty, so Marcus led them to a spring of water to have a drink and cool off. Soon they were ready to get back to work. But as Marcus swung his leg over his horse, his sharp spurs accidentally hit the horse under the tail. The horse bucked and threw Marcus to the ground on top of a big rock. Marcus screamed in pain.
"Marcus!"
yelled Glenn.
"Are you okay?"
said Sterling.
"I can't move,"
Marcus moaned. Then his eyes closed. He had passed out. The boys looked at each other, eyes wide.
"What should we do?"
"We need to find someone to help us. He needs a doctor."
Sterling and Glenn were scared. They were miles away from other people and didn't have phones to call for help. They didn't even know exactly where they were.
"I'll be right back."
He walked around a pile of rocks, knelt in the dirt, and bowed his head.
"Heavenly Father, Marcus is really hurt, and we don't know how to help. Please let me know what to do."
Sterling heard a clear voice in his head. "Ride north." He hurried back to Glenn and Marcus.
"I'm going to find help,"
he said to Glenn.
"You stay here with Marcus."
Glenn looked relieved. Sterling climbed on his horse and started riding north. After about an hour of nothing but sky and sagebrush, he saw a cloud of dust in the distance. A truck was coming slowly across the range. Sterling galloped to the truck and waved it down. It was two sheep herders looking for their lost sheep. Sterling told them about Marcus. The sheep herders knew where the spring was and drove right to Marcus and Glenn. They carefully lifted Marcus into the back of the truck and drove him to the hospital. Sterling and Glenn took the horses back to Marcus's cabin and waited for their parents to pick them up.
"Thank you, Heavenly Father,"
Sterling prayed quietly.
"Thank you for helping us help Marcus."
A few months later, Sterling saw Marcus after his broken bones had healed.
There's my brave, smart cowhand. Thanks for saving my life with your quick thinking.
Sterling smiled. He was glad Marcus was okay.
It wasn't me. I was just following Heavenly Father's directions.
The author lives in Maryland, USA.
End of the story. Riding to the Rescue. Read by Austin Peterson, Daniel McClellan, and Sean and Jean Nelson.
Brazilian Limeade. In Brazil, this frosty drink is called Limonada Suíça. Be sure to get an adult's help. You'll need 3 limes, 4 cups of water, a 14-ounce can of sweetened condensed milk, about 396 grams, and 1 cup of ice. Step 1. Cut off the ends of the limes. Then cut the limes into wedges. 2. Put the limes and water in a blender. Pulse 5 to 7 times. Then strain the juice using a mesh strainer. Put juice back in blender and add sweetened condensed milk. Blend until smooth and frothy. Add ice to blender and blend again. Enjoy. Paper plate hearts. Make this craft to share with someone you love. You'll need paper plates, scissors, a hole punch, and yarn. Step 1. Fold a paper plate in half and use scissors to cut out a heart. 2. Unfold the plate and punch holes around the heart. If you don't have a hole punch, you could use a pen to poke the holes. 3. Thread yarn through one of the holes and tie a knot to keep it in place. Then loop the yarn through a hole across from your knot. 4. Keep looping your yarn through all the holes until it's crisscrossed across the heart. Tie a knot at the end. 5. At the top of the plate, punch another hole and tie a piece of yarn through it to hang it up. End of the article, Food and Fun, read by Miles McClellan.
Keep Going, Josie, by Julianne Tenney Doman, based on a true story. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Josie yawned as she slowed her jog to a walk. Today was the big race. She had been looking forward to this day for months. But instead of feeling excited during warm-ups, Josie felt tired.
How's it going?
Her older sister Christine asked. She sat down with Josie on the grass so they could stretch their legs.
I'm really tired today,
Josie said, reaching for her toes. She had been sick and had to miss several days of school, so last night she stayed up late catching up on her schoolwork.
I hope I don't let our team down.
Just do the best you can, Christine said. Looks like we're about to start.
The girls jogged over to join their teammates. As they lined up with the other runners, Josie closed her eyes and took a deep breath. She knew her team was counting on her to run fast, like she usually did. The race time from the top 5 runners on their team would determine whether their team went on to the finals. She barely had time to get in position when the gun sounded to start the race. The runners pushed off the starting line and sprinted forward. Josie pumped her arms and lengthened her steps. She knew she needed to get ahead in the beginning if she wanted to be a top finisher. At first, Josie could keep up with the other lead runners. But when she tried to run faster, she couldn't. Josie breathed harder. She just couldn't get her legs to move any faster. The runners behind her started passing her. Usually Josie was the one doing the passing.
Maybe I should just give up,
she thought. Josie looked down at the ground as she heard another runner pass her. Keep going, Josie, the runner said as she ran by. Josie looked up. Then she smiled. It was one of her teammates.
You can do it!
Another teammate said as she ran past. One by one, as Josie's teammates passed her, they encouraged her to keep running. Josie felt a surge of determination. Maybe she wouldn't be in the top 5, but she could still finish the race. She focused on her steps and didn't stop until she finally crossed the finish line.
I'm sorry I didn't help us qualify for the next race,
she said between big breaths.
Our team did qualify,
Josie's coach said as she ran over to the girls. Everyone on the team cheered, and Christine threw her arms around Josie in a big hug. That night, as Josie knelt to pray, she thought about how her teammates had helped her. Their words gave her strength to keep going when she wanted to quit. Josie looked up at the picture of Jesus hanging above her bed.
Jesus does the same thing for us,
she thought. She smiled as she imagined the Savior cheering her on. Keep going, Josie. I'm here to help you. She wanted to help others, too. Josie thanked Heavenly Father for his help in running the race and for her wonderful teammates. She felt like she could do anything with Jesus cheering her on.
End of the story, Keep Going, Josie. Read by Jane Wise, Chloe Patillo, Mia Peterson, Shannon Nelson, and Bree.
What's on your mind?
Sometimes I'm afraid to try new things. What if I fail? Afraid in Accra.
Dear Afraid, all people who are really good at something started out as beginners. You won't be an expert when you first try, and that's okay. It's all part of the adventure. When you mess up, just try again. Life is about learning and growing. You can do it. For a fun activity, to learn about the early struggles and difficulties well-known and successful people have faced and overcome, go to page 38 of this issue. Want to try something new? Your children's guidebook can help you set a goal. Don't give up if you don't reach it right away.
Come follow me for little ones. Here are some activity ideas for toddlers and young children that go along with each week's reading. For 2 Nephi chapters 1 through 5, read 2 Nephi chapter 2 verse 6 together and help your little ones say, Jesus Christ saved me. Watch a sing-along video about the Savior at children.churchofjesuschrist.org. Then, color or draw a picture of Jesus together. See page FJ7 in the April or May 2019 Friend, and hang it somewhere you'll see it this week. For 2 Nephi, chapters 11 through 25, read 2 Nephi, chapter 12, verse 2, and help your little ones say, the temple is the house of the Lord. Then use items around your house to build a model temple. You could look at pictures of different temples in the photo gallery at temples.churchofjesuschrist.org. For 2 Nephi, chapters 6 through 10, read 2 Nephi chapter 10, verse 23 together and help your little ones say, I can make good choices. Flip through the Friend and help your children smile and give a thumbs up, or whatever gesture means good job in your culture, whenever you find a picture of someone making a good decision. For 2 Nephi, chapters 26 through 30, read 2 Nephi, chapter 28, verse 2, and help your little ones say, we love the Book of Mormon. Help your children act out some Book of Mormon stories. For example, page 25 has a simple script you could use. Or watch a video at bookofmormonvideos.org. End of Come Follow Me for Little Ones, read by Van Farnworth.
Hi, friends. Will, age 5, Utah, USA, said, I handed my dad his tools while he was fixing his truck. Evie, age 3, Arkansas, USA, said, I like to paint temples on rocks and hide them in the park for people to find. Aaron and Isabella, ages 2 and 5, Santiago, Chile, said, the Friend helps us with our home evening. Eli, age 4, Victoria, Australia, said, I say my prayers. End of Hi, Friends, read by Ocean Patello. Layla makes good choices. Layla likes making good choices. In the morning, Layla helps Daddy put bowls on the table for breakfast. In the afternoon, Layla plays quietly while Mommy rocks the baby. In the evening, Layla puts on her pajamas when Daddy asks. Good choices make Layla and Mommy and Daddy happy. When we make good choices, we are following Jesus. End of the article, Layla Makes Good Choices, read by Ocean Patello.
Scripture Stories, Nephi's Broken Bow. One day in the wilderness, Nephi's hunting bow broke. His family was worried. They didn't know how they would get food without it. Nephi had faith. He made a new bow and arrow. His father, Lehi, prayed for help. They looked at the Liahona. It was a special compass the Lord gave them. When they kept the commandments, the Liahona showed them where to go. Nephi was able to find food for his family. When bad or sad things happen, I won't give up. Heavenly Father will help me solve problems. End of the story, Nephi's Broken Bow, read by Chloe Patello.
Free Dinosaur Hugs by Mackenzie Parsons, based on a true story. David, Mom, and Grandma got out of the car. David was holding two toy dinosaurs. He made noises like they were roaring at each other. "Don't forget Grandma's cane," Mom said. "Okay," David said. He got the cane. He gave it to Grandma. "Thank you," she said. Usually her smile was big, but today it was small. They went inside. Grandma said she needed to take a nap. David played with his dinosaurs in the kitchen. Mom made dinner. "Is Grandma sad?" David asked. "She is missing her friends," Mom said. "Now that she lives with us, she doesn't see them very much." "I would miss my friends if I couldn't see them," David thought. He wanted Grandma to be happy. Then David had an idea. He got his markers. He made a big card. He drew lots of dinosaurs on it. "Mom," David said, "can you help me write some words?" "Sure," Mom said. When they finished, David took the card to Grandma's room. He knocked softly on the door. "Come in," Grandma said. She was lying on the bed, but she wasn't asleep. "I made you a present," David said. Grandma opened the card. She read, "Free hugs every day from David and the dinosaurs." Grandma smiled a big smile. "Thank you, David," she said. "I love hugs. But the dinosaurs don't need to hug me, just you." David laughed. He gave Grandma a big hug. He loved his grandma. The author lives in Utah, USA. End of the story, Free Dinosaur Hugs by Mackenzie Parsons, read by Jane Wise.